Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to another episode of JB's Fam. On today's episode, or tonight, I should say, we have none other than my brother, Jason Diaz. And no, I mean my actual brother. We're always having these unique conversations, you know, talking about life. And so I'm just like, hey, let's just do it. Well, actually, he said, hey, let's do it. And we're doing this impromptu interview. And I'm going to let him tell me a little bit about himself and tell his life story. And hopefully this will be a blessing to many others. So, Jason, say hello to the people.
How you doing, everybody? I want to say good evening, good night. I don't want to say good night like you're going to sleep, but I know it's nighttime, and I hope I find you all well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, if you don't mind starting, Jason, tell the people where you're from. You know, just start from the very top, man.
Well, my name is Jason Diaz, and I'm born and raised in New York City. And just like a lot of people from New York City, I had a crazy life. But, you know, I grew up on the east side of Harlem. You know, I grew up with my grandmother and my mother. My grandmother passed away when I was 11. My mother passed away when I was 13. You know, life was rough, but we made it through. And I'll get into details later on in the conversation, but I'm just here to let everybody know, man, that I'm here to inspire, and I'm here to let you know, man, that whatever you're going through, man, more than likely it's going to be all right.
Yes, sir. So, if you don't mind, you know, giving, you know, a little bit of backstory, you know, some of the things that you endured, you know, through your childhood.
All right. Well, let's get busy, bro. All right. Well, when I was young, man, you know, I was the fat kid. And I remember I got picked on like a lot. And I remember my mother telling me, if you don't fight, I'm going to beat your ass. So I used to have to go downstairs and you know, in the project, I used to have to go back downstairs and fight. And my mother showed me what it was to be tough. You know, I grew up in a wonderful house. My grandmother and my mother were the only two figures I had in my life. My father, wherever he's at, I don't have no hard feelings, but he's never been a part of my life. But his sisters always were, and his mother, my other grandmother. Mm-hmm. And I thank them for that. Thank you guys so much. If you guys ever listen to this, Adrian, my cousin that I talk to, I love you. And, it was basically my mother and my grandmother. And, you know, my grandmother was a retired seamstress. Excuse me. She was a retired seamstress. And, you know, my mom's was a single mother. You know, my mother worked. You know, she had jobs, and but at the time, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I think my mother was finding her way, but she always took care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up great, bro. Like, we grew up great. Like, my Christmases weren't spectacular, but they weren't whack. They made sure they try to make us happy. And, you know, all we grew up with was my mother and my grandmother. And, man, there's so many things I can tell you, bro. You know, I know we on a time limit, but my grandmother, was a dark-skinned Puerto Rican, right? And my grandfather is a dark-skinned Hispanic, and my mother was very fair-skinned. But let me tell you something, bro. My mother introduced me to soul music. My mother introduced me to, first of all, I thought that everybody was Puerto Rican
Really?
because I used to think that the black people in my neighborhood were Puerto Rican because my grandparents were black. So I was like, everybody around here is Puerto Rican. But my mother, like I said, my mother introduced me to soul music. My mother introduced me to her black friends. And yo, bro, there was no, I know, you know, one of the things that bothers me a lot these days is the separation between Caribbean Hispanics and just regular African Americans. I'm like, yo, we're the same. There's really no such thing as a Puerto Rican or a Cuban or a Dominican. That's just a nationality. Our race is Spaniard and black.
Preach.
It just so happens that some people, the Spaniard part takes more over. You know what I'm saying? Just like if you meet somebody who's mulatto, like sometimes the black takes over, sometimes the white takes over. That's why you might meet some Puerto Ricans that look like, what's that white boy's name? John B. You might meet some Puerto Ricans that look like him, and then you meet a Puerto Rican that looks like me. I'm mad light, but I got the features. Be like, wait a second, this guy, he ain't white.
Yeah, he
But
definitely black.
hey, yo, bro, I wear it proudly, brother. Yo, bro, when I get in the car, when you pick me up, let
He's
you see
talking
my
about
brother.
tomorrow when on his way to work.
No, but when you pick me up in the car, be like, see my brother, he's black. What, you thought a Latin King was picking me up? No.
That's
Zulu
funny.
Nation is picking me up. But yeah, bro, me and my sister, man, we grew up in a great house, and my sister and my mother had the greatest relationship. I was very close to my grandmother, but I was close to my mother and my grandmother, and we lost them at a young age, and it was hard, bro. It was very hard. It was rough. And but like I said, man, my mother, in the short amount of years I got to be with her, she taught me so much. My grandmother and my mother. My grandmother used to call me sinvergüenza, because I used to do stupid things when I was young. She used to whip my A. I used to do stupid stuff. I used to choke the chihuahua we had. I don't even know why. He didn't do nothing to me, but I used to just grab him by his neck and choke him for no reason. I'm sorry, Iggy. I love you. He's probably dead now, but damn. Excuse me. Excuse me. But yeah, man, we had a good life, man. Like, my mother and my grandmother, they did what they had to do, man. I just, sometimes I feel cheated, like they were taken out of my life at an early age, man. That was a point in my life where I was really questioning the higher power. I was like, damn, excuse me. I was like, why would you do that to me, man? Like, I don't have enough as it is, but I'm cool with it, but now you're gonna take away all I got? And then, I went through years and years of just pain. Like, yo, one of the greatest things is when me and my sister, when my mother passed away, I'll tell you the story, bro. When my mother finally went to the hospital because she was scared, yo, you know what I used to do?
What's that?
My mother's stomach used to hurt so bad from the cancer. She used to ask me to heat up the microwave plate at 60 minutes. And for the whole hour, the microwave would run. And the microwave plate, the glass plate,
right,
it would become so hot that I would wrap it in a towel and I would give it to her. That was her heating pad because we didn't have one. The heating pad we had, like, messed up, right? And finally, when the pain got unbearable, she went to the hospital and they told her, they said, the cancer spread throughout your body. So like I told you earlier, my mother had to make plans for us. And like I said, you know, some of my mother's friends weren't like the greatest people. And I don't want to say no names, but I love them all to death. All my titis. And when I say titis, I mean these are women that grew up with my mother, and I consider them my aunts. But she asked my titi Mimi, who's not my mother's blood sister, but they grew up together. And she asked, "Can you take care of my kids for me?" And she did. She did. And I messed up. Well, when we went to live over there after all the ordeal, my Mimi, Jesse, graduated high school, Park East, and she went right into the military. And she regretted it. And when she listens to this, she's gonna remember. She was crying and all of that. But man, if that ain't the best thing, that if that ain't the best decision, like, get out of New York City, right? I'm the guy that stood around and went to jail and all of that crazy stuff. But I'm so thankful that my sister left and, you know, did her thing, and I'm so proud of her, bro. She is a retired Navy chief. Jessica Diaz. I love you, Jess, and I'm so proud of you. I think about you every day.
Yes, she's definitely highly decorated, you know, and very dedicated.
Wow. She is, yo, man. You know, the people that, you know, I grew up with, Gisette and Eric, they're like, yo, Jesse is the real Avenger.
I believe
No, they were like, she's the Black Widow. She's always in Germany. But, you know, after that, you know, it got rough for me. You know, I don't mind saying, man, you know, I did a lot of time in jail. I made a lot of mistakes.
Right.
And when I say mistakes, like, at the same time, I feel bad because I don't like doing anything to anybody. But I was just trying to survive, bro. I have never respected robbers and stealers. I was like, how dare you try to take somebody from something from somebody who works for it every day.
Right.
But on the streets, bro, I was just trying to defend myself, man. I'm going to tell you a story. You want me to tell you the story of how I got my first charge?
Go for it, man.
All right. I was at Richard R. Green. That was the high school I was in. Richard R. Green High School of Teaching. It was on 89th Street. And I was friends with two dudes that are from my brother Eric's neighborhood, Danny and Papito. And basically, it's something that I haven't gone through it lately, but I have gone through in my life. I'm always some type of somebody's muscle, right?
Right.
They're like, oh, you mess with me, you messing with Jason, whatever. Anyway, Danny and Papito were not well liked in the school. And there was these brothers that didn't like them. And I was real cool with this dude, man. I forget his name. But after he figured out that I'm like, oh, that's one of Danny and Papito's people, like, he didn't like me either. And I was like, man, bro, I thought we were cool.
Mm-hmm.
Any day, well, excuse me, one day we're coming back from lunch. And we're going through the hallway. Danny Papito walking in front of me. And here's this dude, excuse me, with his whole crew. And he's like, yo, one of you NIGGAs bumped me. And I'm, you know, I'm caught off guard. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, one of you NIGGAs bumped me. And I'm like, yo, bro, I didn't bump you. I said, but I know you, and I apologize. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what type of time they're on, right?
Right.
He was like, so what you going to do about it? I was like, me? I said, yo, I'm trying to make peace out this situation.
Right. And you said, how old were you again?
I was a teenager, bro. I was in 10th grade.
Okay.
So he got his whole crew. His whole crew, bro. They like 7, 8 deep. And he got a bunch of girls as the audience. And he's like, no, I'm not letting you get by me until you tell me what's up. So I'm like, what? So I look up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Danny and Papito are in the classroom. They left me by myself.
Wow. I've definitely been there before.
So I'm like, oh my God. But I gotta tell you one thing. This was a time in my life where I just gave up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I made a choice. I said, yo, this dude ain't about to punk me. I said, I really don't have nothing to live for right now.
Mm.
But he was like, yo, what you gonna do? You ain't getting by me unless you wanna fight. And I'm like, I wasn't even in the mood. Like, seriously.
Right.
You know me, I'll fight at the drop of a dime. Well, that's how I was back then. Right? But I was so sad that day. I had a rough, like, I remember the weekend, man. Like, you know what's crazy? I had a dream that morning of police cars.
Wow.
And then I go to school, right? And this dude does this, right? And I look up and I see Danny and Papito. Papito's in the classroom and Danny is sticking his head out the door. He was saying, like, yo, what you doing? And I'm like, what I'm doing? I'm fighting your battles, white boy. He's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man. So the dude's name was Sean. I remember his name. God bless him, man. I hope he's doing fine. He has a scar on his face that's courtesy of me, and I apologize for that. But anyway, he's like, so what we gonna do, man? We gonna fight or what? And I was like, you know what? Yo, bro, I pulled a razor blade out of my pocket,
mm-hmm.
and I put a permanent crease in his face.
Mm.
And then all his friends were scared, and all the girls were screaming, and they called the police, and the director of the school, he came and he knew my backstory. He put his arm around me and he was like, Jason, what happened? I said, yo, listen, man, this guy, you know, he was gonna jump me. Like, what you want me to do? He was like, do you admit to cutting his face? I was like, yeah. I was like, if I gotta go to jail, I gotta go to jail. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Where else I had to go? And I went to jail. And they told me, they were like, oh, you young, you only gonna do 2 weeks. Bro, I did it. I'm about to curse, excuse me. They were like, oh, you young, you only gonna do 2 weeks. I did a year.
Oh, no.
I was like, yo, where those cops at who lied to me?
Wow.
But Yeah, bro. You
And
know,
this is you just trying to defend yourself, and you end up serving a
bro,
year.
they were definitely gonna whip me up and down the hallway of the school. And my friends were, well, my so-called friends, they were not gonna help me. And I was like, I don't feel like doing this today.
So do you feel that after that situation that that's when things changed for you? And you're like, hey, I might as well, join them. I was the person that was innocent, going through some stuff, and I'm just merely trying to, protect myself.
Bro, I stopped caring because on the streets, right? When I moved to West Harlem, I used to go to this program, this parole program for violent teenage felons, right? And one of my friends, he was from Belize, light-skinned brother. He was a Crip. And, we would leave the program. We had to go there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like, it was mandatory. If you didn't show up, they come to arrest you, right? And
Wow.
this is when I was living in a group home. But me and him used to hang out like after the program. The program would be like 10:30 in the morning, and we would get out at like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and we would go hang out. He was from Harlem, and he ran with Von Zipp. And Von Zipp was a heavy dude in Harlem, right? And they were all Crips. And he turned me Crip. But when I went to jail, like when I went back to jail, all my friends that were in jail turned blood. So when I was locked up, I used to be around them all the time. And then like, they used to like think like, oh, we know Jason. He hangs with the Bloods. That's the Puerto Rican dude that hangs with the Bloods. So, I was like, well, since they already consider me a Blood because I'm already with these dudes all the time, I might as well become one. And that's when I turned Blood.
See, I didn't even know this story.
And let me tell you, bro. When the Crips from outside in the world told the other Crips inside, like, yo, Jason turned blood, right? Yo, bro, I had beef with the Kings. I had beef with the Nietas. I had beef with the Crips. I had beef with the Zulu Nation. Like, they all wanted to, erase me off this planet.
Wow.
And
Well, I
I was
mean,
like,
that's unheard of, as far as someone starting in one and going to another. So, I mean, I still don't think it's right for them all to be coming from you. But wow, I didn't even know this story.
And I have a scar on my stomach from a Crip slicing me open. I showed you that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the backstory behind it. Wow.
Well,
So
I had a
this is your
homie.
first year in that all this happened.
Yeah, this is my first year in prison, not right. No, this is my second time in right.
Okay.
Because, yo, bro, Rikers Island is worse than prison.
That's what I hear.
In prison, you just run into people who they're like, yeah, I'm just trying to do my time and go home. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're gonna run into crazy people, but in Rikers, you're like, I don't even know when I'm going home, but yo, get out my face. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, as all of this stuff was happening, did you ever see yourself, trying to get out like your sister Jess, finding another avenue, like how do I get out of New York?
No, bro, I really had no aspirations of doing anything. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was really looking forward to getting out. But I had no aspirations for my life, bro. Like, I really didn't care. It's crazy to say that I really didn't care. I had nothing to come to. Right. My sister was gone, and I have no mother, and I have no father, and I have no grandparents. I don't have anything. I don't have anybody that cares about me. So what do I care about myself?
So, I mean, I know part of this story, but for the listeners, so when did it shift and you finally made it out of New York?
I'm going to tell you, bro, and I was thinking about it when I was waiting for you to call me back. You know what changed my life, bro?
What's that?
Music.
Really?
Yo, bro, back then, around that time, right, before I started getting... Because you really can't listen to music in jail unless you buy like the headphones, and then all you can listen to is the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to prison, you can listen to CDs and stuff like that, but you have to be like a trustee or whatever, right?
Right.
But when I was young, bro, all I was listening to was, you know, I'm New York City all day, East Coast. But I was listening to West Coast rap because those were the only people who were talking about beat you up and shoot you up. And that was my reality at the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, yo,
East Coast hip hop was a lot different back then. It wasn't.
Yeah, you know, East Coast. Yo, at that time, the only people in the early 90s, early to mid 90s, the only people that were talking gangster stuff was Kool G Rap.
Mm hmm.
One of my favorite rappers. But other than that, everybody was like, you know, like, hip-hop, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, it was about the DJs, and, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but, yo, bro, on the West Coast, Spice One was like, rolling with my mother effing strap inside of me. You can't mess with the East Bay G's. Like, that was like, you know, like Eazy-E, Spice One, Ant Banks, Above the Law, the Lynch Mob. Like, all they were talking about was street crazy stuff, and I was like, yo, this is my life. This is what I do. But it wasn't until later when I was remembering my mother's, the music she used to play for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, you know, after a while, bro, you know, you just don't want to do it no more. You just get sad and you're like, man, I just want to lay down and rest. I'm so tired.
Mm.
And that's eventually how I felt, man. And I happened to go back to Jesse. And I met a girl and had a baby with her.
And this was in Michigan, right?
Yeah. Met a girl, had a baby with her. And that's the wonderful gift of my life. Jordan, and from then on, I said, you got somebody to live for now.
Right.
So now you got to do what you got to do. And I did it, bro. And I did it nicely. Like, he's been with us for how long? Since he was 8 years old, man.
Right.
You've seen him since he was a baby.
Yeah, I think he was like, what, 2 or 3 when he first met me.
Yeah.
I didn't stole it. I was working at Kohl's.
Yeah. He said, I didn't steal this.
Yeah, how he worded it was, I didn't stole it, you know. Now, well, this man is a young man himself. And wow, time has just flown.
Yo, like, you know, despite my crazy mind and my crazy past and my crazy ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had to take care of my son. I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, yo, Jason, You got a son. You got to do what you got to do. And you don't know how many times, bro, I kept myself out of jail. Because I was like, my son don't need to see me in that situation. I said, right. He needs me. And, you know, I mean, nothing personal against his mother, but she's not there for him.
Yeah.
And I was blessed. I was blessed. I was blessed because Kenyatta loves him.
He's talking about my sister, so. Yeah, he saved my sister for some stuff too. So, you know, it was a blessing for my family when he came into our lives. Believe it or not, you know, I know I don't say it to you enough, but you definitely looked out for her, and you know, I always love you for it.
I remember I used to walk in at a home downtown Pontiac.
Yep, good old Yak.
Ugh, I hate that place. But yeah, bro, you know, we were hoping we didn't get to this point, but ask me more, bro.
Yeah, so you know, I'll take the baton a little bit. So at this point, this is where he met my sister, and eventually, you know, this is, what year was it? Was it
2002.
Yeah, he made the transition, I can't even talk, to Syracuse, and moved here, and shortly after you and my sister got married, so you guys have been married 20 years now, right?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, so it's 2003. Wow. So I was, I'm dating myself. Yeah, I was 20. So yes, I'm 40, people. Wow. 20 years of marriage.
Can I tell you something and you won't get mad at me?
What's that?
When I first met you, right?
Uh-oh.
I was like, this guy is so cocky.
You thought I was cocky?
I was like, you told me you were, bro. You were like, I'm the cockiest guy you'll ever meet. You told me that.
You know what? If I did, in fact, say that, that probably stemmed from, you know, my own insecurities. You know, people you meet in life, they say to you, you're not this, you're not that. So it's kind of like you use that, you know, you have a chip on your shoulder. So I'll use that like, all right, I'm going to say I'm the exact opposite of what they're saying that I am.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yo, bro, trust me, I got picked on all the time, man. Like, I was always the fat, ugly boy. Like, literally.
He's a handsome man. I don't care what he say.
Well, bro, not for nothing. Like, you know, every time I see you, I want to kiss you, buddy.
Oh, this guy. This is our relationship, like, y'all. You know, we love one another, definitely.
You're my wife's brother. I can't do that. but bro.
Yeah.
I love you have, like, the man you have become, bro. I am so happy. That, you know, despite situations, I won't get into it, but the fact that I get to see you every day is such a blessing.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, as we talked earlier, how God works. This is definitely a time for me to kind of slow down and sit myself down. And, you know, in the meantime, you and I get a chance to do a lot of bonding. And I don't want to speak too prematurely, but when this is all said and done, this segment, that is, we got some other stuff lined up, my brother and I. And so this won't be the last conversation, but I just wanted to kind of introduce you to the world and to my listeners before we start our own venture together. But I do want you to carry on and, you know, tell a little bit about what's been on your mind lately and as far as your own legacy, you know, what you've learned over the years and what you would like to see for the foreseeable future.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I've learned over the years. People always got that saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Man, everybody judges a book by its cover.
Definitely.
Because if you don't like the cover, you ain't going to read the book.
That is true. Preach.
You know what I'm saying? So when people see me, they see, yo, look at this big dude with the long hair and the tattoos and this and that. However they judge me, it's fine. Because when I got my tattoos and when I grew my long hair, I knew what I was getting into. I remember Kenyatta did not want me to get the tattoo on my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, I was debating about it because, you know, I want to respect my wife, right?
Right.
But then I had to tell myself, bro, I was like, yo, I'm not living for the world. I'm not living for anybody to accept me. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to represent and be proud of where I'm from, New York, mother effing city, I am going to show the world where I'm from. And don't matter where I'm at, I want the world to know where I'm from and what I represent. And then when they meet me, I'm like, yo, I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing hostile, ain't nothing bad. Yo, man, I want my legacy to be that, bro, I could put you on the phone with a lot of people and they'll be like, man, what's not to love about Jason?
Exactly.
I wish everybody well and I spread love. And if you want to call me in the morning and you want me to tell you I love you, I do.
And let me say this, he's been saying this way before Diddy said it, so you know Diddy wasn't the originator.
Yes, thank you. I've been saying that, bro. I love. There's nothing wrong with spreading love, man. That's what the world needs.
Definitely.
That's what the world needs, man. And just like love, we need laughter.
Definitely. Definitely. We're going to talk about that on your show, which will be, you know, coming up soon. So I definitely want listeners to watch out for that. We chop it up, you know, and we end up talking about a lot of things, you know, from music to movies. And I could say that Jason is a music, movie, just an overall archive, and you don't want to play him in games like Seen It because you'll never win. So I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen next. And this was, like I said, impromptu. This is my brother. He's married to my sister. But, you know, we don't have to say the in-law thing. We just say we're brothers. And I'm glad he was able to come on here. He's been through a lot of things. And I feel that, or I know that, he has a lot of things to share with the world. And a lot of young people and old people could definitely learn a lot from this man's life. You know, how, you know, he's had highs and lows and, you know, just real talk. And all of us, myself included, you know, we're not perfect. And every day we get another opportunity to, you know, get things right with life. And,
not to interrupt you, but I definitely want to be perfect. And you know, a message to whoever is gonna listen to this. And when you're walking down the street, when you're walking in the hallway at your job, wherever you're working at, right? Wherever you're walking or working or whatever you're doing, there's nothing wrong with slapping a five with somebody and say, yo, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? I hope your day is going great.
Right. Yeah,
and if you're
speaking
great,
of that,
better.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, speaking of that, you know, I think it's just a up north thing, you know. People don't like to speak. Everybody wants to keep their head down. Everybody's about, you know, their life, you know, just trying to make it, you know. I mean, how hard is it to?
That's the thing, bro. For years and years, I didn't do that at all. And I just remember that there's a lot of people that actually helped me make it to this point in my life.
That's great.
To the people that have helped me out through my life, man, I will forever be grateful. And I appreciate each and every one of you, man. I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for some of you guys. And I'm going to make it my point in life, man. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I know that I'm going to try my best, man, to put a smile on everybody's face.
Yes, sir.
I'm all about love, and I'm all about being kind. And when you look at me, you might not think that, but that's my direction in life, man. Love is the message.
That's right. This is only the beginning, folks. I look forward to, you know, sharing, you know, his platform with him. And we're going to be talking about a little bit of everything. So just be prepared. But that's our time. You know, I thank you again, my brother. I love you. And
you too.
Yo, it's just the beginning. And that's it. We out. Peace.